Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is that time of your day. Your favorite hour of the day, 1 p.m., live here on WKAR AM 870. 105.1 FM, you are locked into WKAR's current sports, and we got a lot to talk about. Hopefully you guys had a great Labor Day. We were laboring here at WKAR's current sports. Yes, we did have a live show on the holiday. We had to recap what happened in week one of the college football season, more specifically what occurred when it comes to the Michigan State football team and the Michigan football team over the weekend. The Spartans getting that victory on Friday night at Spartan Stadium against Tulsa, and then Michigan handling business on Saturday night at the Big House against Middle Tennessee State University. So, it's a new week. Michigan State now prepares for a new challenge. Saturday night at Spartan Stadium, back-to-back night games, as Michigan State will now play host to Western Michigan University. But Mark D'Antonio, I feel like Mark D'Antonio, he used this morning's press conference as kind of a therapy session. I'm just going to be real with you guys. He was not happy. Mark D'Antonio did not walk in the room with smiles. He was not very friendly. He was irritated. That was the word of this morning's press conference, actually. Irritated. Not a happy man. Quite the contrary, because I felt like Mark D'Antonio was in a pretty good mood after Friday's win in the press conference. You know, when we saw him and talked with him, you know, he seemed like he was in a cheerful mood. A win is a win, 1-0. They all count one. But I think what happened was Mark D'Antonio, after watching the film, some things turned his stomach. More than one thing turned his stomach. And I'll let him explain what those things were, what those aspects were that did lead to a Michigan State win. But if they don't shore up these particular aspects, maybe a repeat of last season. I don't want to say that. It's just week one. I get it. But Mark D'Antonio was not happy for a reason this morning. You'll hear an irritable Mark D'Antonio in just a moment, all right? We'll roll in that audio for you, hot off the press. Also, I want to talk about week one overall for the Big Ten Conference, and you'll get my impressions after week one and how the Big Ten looks to the national college football world after just week one. Nick Ward, some news on Nick Ward, former Michigan State big man who is trying to make his NBA dreams come true. He was not drafted this past summer in the 2019 NBA draft. He tried to make a G League team. He did play in the summer league, but didn't land a roster spot. So I'll give you an update as to where he will be playing professional ball. He will be playing professional ball. I'll let you know where in just a moment, and you'll get my thoughts on that story later on this hour. All right? So, it is Tuesday. Feels like a Monday for many of you guys because many of you all had yesterday off. It is Tuesday, September 3rd, 2019.
We've got Jack Kerwin behind the glass today, engineering and piloting this show. But you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start here. The pro career for one of Michigan State's most offensively prolific recent big men. He will be starting overseas. His pro career will be. Nick Ward has signed a contract with the, I'll take a stab at it, Hapoel Gilboa Galil of the Israeli Premier League. The club made an announcement this week. I'm sure I butchered that name.
Wrong.
Yeah, probably wrong there, Jack. The announcement said that Ward is expected to travel overseas this week to start training camp. The team's regular season will begin October 10th. Ward left Michigan State after his junior season earlier this year, during which he averaged almost 13 points per game, 6.1 rebounds per game. He missed 5 games late in the regular season with that broken hand. Also, want to congratulate 15 former Michigan State players who have made season-opening NFL rosters. I'll just pour through the list briefly here. Brian Allen solidifies a spot with the Rams. Le'Veon Bell, of course, with the Jets. Shalique Calhoun with the Patriots. Garrett Celek with the San Francisco 49ers. Jack Conklin with the Tennessee Titans. Kirk Cousins, of course, with the Minnesota Vikings. Darquez Denard with the Cincinnati Bengals. Benny Fowler with the New York Giants. Will Golston with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Brian Hoyer with the Indianapolis Colts. We brought that story to you yesterday. Justin Lane with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Monte Nicholson shoring up a spot with the Washington Redskins. Also had a pretty nice pick six. Don't know if you guys caught that during the NFL preseason. Tabor Pepper with the Miami Dolphins. Drew Stanton with the Cleveland Browns. Trey Wayans with the Minnesota Vikings. Kari Willis with the Indianapolis Colts. And some late cuts that I want to pass along to you guys. Riley Bulla of the Titans. Demetrius Cox with the Bengals. Tony Lippitt of the Bengals also. Andrew Dow of my Dallas Cowboys. Matt Sokol of the Chargers. He's on the practice squad, though. He did make the practice squad. And Felton Davis, Chiefs, he has been waived. Really unfortunate for Felton. You know, I always think to myself, what could have been with Felton Davis if he did not have that Achilles injury against Michigan last season? So there you have that, though. But congratulations to all of the 15 Spartans who have made roster spots, making the cut of 53 as we head into week one of the NFL season on Thursday. All right, a penalty kick in the 89th minute by redshirt sophomore forward Alex Sternberg helped force overtime as the Spartans men's soccer team battled to a 1-1 tie. Gotta love ties in football, right? Against Florida Gulf Coast yesterday afternoon at the Martin Stadium.
Wrong.
The tough Eagles defeated number 24 Michigan in Ann Arbor. The Spartans and the Eagles were meeting for the first time as MSU is now 0-0-2 this season and Florida Gulf Coast is 1-0-1. This is the first time since the 1957 season that Michigan State has started the season with a pair of ties. But the first overtime, we really went for it. That's a direct quote from head coach Damon Rensing. He went on to say, a lot of tired legs out there. But we are not a finished product. But I do feel good where we are at. And I like this group's character, end quote. So I also want to note that the annual Crosstown Showdown, presented by Auto Owners Insurance, an exhibition between the Lansing Lugnuts and the Michigan State baseball team, is scheduled to be played at 7:05 p.m. tonight at Cooley Law School Stadium. Now, I know. It's a bit cloudy outside, and we are expected to have rain at some point today. But as of right now, the show is going on. All right? Gates open at 5 p.m. before the Home Run Derby begins at 5:30. The Spartans and the Luggies would then play a 7-inning game starting again at 7:05 p.m. Sparty, the MSU mascot, along with the MSU Spirit Squad and Zeke the Wonder Dog, will also be in attendance. All right, the Detroit Tigers lost. What's new? 40-95 now in the year after a 4-3 loss to the Minnesota Twins. The Tigers lose that series 3-1. All right, and the Detroit Tigers will get right back to action tonight at 8:15 p.m. as they begin a series against the Kansas City Royals. That will be a 3-game set ending on Thursday. That final game starting at 1:15 p.m. on Thursday. All right, and sad news here. Just, folks, you just don't know. You don't know. Tomorrow is never promised, and this is a story that is sending shockwaves throughout the sporting community as Chase Numata, a catcher for the Detroit Tigers AA affiliate, the Erie Seawolves, sadly passed away in an Erie hospital yesterday from injuries that he sustained in a skateboarding accident. A skateboarding accident. My goodness, he was just 27 years old. The Pearl City, Hawaii native was selected in the 14th round of the 2010 MLB draft by the Philadelphia Phillies. He signed a minor league deal with the Tigers in November and spent time between AA and AAA this season, called by teammates as, quote, the heart and soul of the Seawolves. Numata was known to keep the clubhouse vibrant and teammates laughing during the season. This is coming from Seawolves outfielder and former Michigan State baseball player Cam Gibson. Quote, he's a giver. He'll never ask for anything, but he'll give. Even the small stuff. Me and him will go to Taco Bell at midnight, and he forces himself in to pay for it. It's little stuff like that. He refuses to take from people. Again, Chase Numata, gone far too soon at the age of 27. Okay, to less important matters now. Detroit Red Wings defenseman Nicholas Cronwall, he is retiring. That announcement made today in a video from the Red Wings. Cronwall said, quote, they say every journey has to come to an end. Well, my journey as player for the Detroit Red Wings ends here. Cronwall will take over as a special advisor to general manager Stevie Y. Cronwall, 38 years old. He played 15 seasons in the National Hockey League, all in the D. He had 432 points, 83 goals in 953 games. Cronwall has been troubled with an arthritic left knee the past several seasons that made this morning's announcement expected. And that's where I was going next with this, Jack. You being the big hockey nut and Red Wings fan that you are, this was expected, right? You saw this coming down the news wire at some point soon, right?
Yeah, at this point in time, he still didn't have a contract to play for next season, and he's had the chronic knee issues the last couple of years. They've been well documented. So, no, I didn't expect Nick Cronwall to play for the Red Wings this year. A little bit unfortunate, because if he would have played and he would have stayed healthy, he would have gotten to 1,000 games as a Red Wing. But, I mean, it doesn't really affect the team this season. He wouldn't have been able to help too much at this stage in his career anyway.
Right, a little less than 50, well, a little more. A little less than 50 games away from...
yeah, I think he's at like 953 or something like right. That. Yeah, so if he would have stayed healthy, he would have gotten to 1,000 games.
Right, but Nicholas Cronwall, wishing him well in retirement. Also, I love this story. The Detroit Youth Choir, fresh off a moving performance on America's Got Talent, they will be the halftime act for the Detroit Lions home opener this weekend. The team made that announcement yesterday. The choir advanced to the semifinal round of the NBC reality competition last week after singing a version of The Champion, which is a Carrie Underwood song featuring Ludacris. The Lions will play the L.A. Chargers on September 15th at Ford Field. Great stuff, though. And, you know, I was very emotional after watching these incredible young men and women during their debut on America's Got Talent, in which the host of that show, Terry Crews, who I'm a big fan of, he's a Flint native, he gave them the golden buzzer, sending them automatically to the next round. And a few of my fraternity brothers in Detroit actually mentor some of the members of this Detroit Youth Choir. So I've seen a lot of stuff on social media, these fantastic young men and women being tagged on social media for moving on in America's Got Talent. So that is awesome, awesome stuff. Again, they are the halftime act for the Detroit Lions home opener. All right, and Notre Dame ended up beating Louisville 35-17 last night, so you got to enjoy some Labor Day college football action last night. Again, 35-17, your final, as the Fighting Irish able to pick up the dub there. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Check out the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch there and comment below that video. Also, tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Right. Happy Tuesday to you all. Again, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports here on this Tuesday, September 3rd, 2019. I also, you know, before I push forward here, I want to express a big thank you to our Current Sports listeners out there for reaching out to me. You know, I put out a status on my Facebook page yesterday asking for some prayers because my family, as you guys know, they live in South Florida, in that area, the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area. And as many of you know, Hurricane Dorian is headed now to Florida. And my mom, my stepdad, my unc, cousins, my little sister, they all live out there, and they are bracing for Dorian. It looks as though Florida is not going to get a direct hit, still going to get hit hard, but it won't be a direct hit. But going to be a lot of rain, high winds, and, you know, I was speaking to my mom earlier, and they went to the grocery store and stocked up on food for the entire week, food and water for the entire week. I was talking to my little sister this morning. She's just starting high school, which is insane in the membrane to me. Time flies. But her school has been canceled for the week, so thank you to everybody who's reached out to me, because that's always nervous around hurricane season. This isn't their first hurricane that they've, you know, had to go through. And they've evacuated a few times in years past, but this one they're going to try and wait out. And just wishing everybody well down there in South Florida. Also, the Bahamas, they have been hit the worst when it comes to Hurricane Dorian right now. And I've been watching a lot of coverage of it and seeing pictures and videos out there that have been shared. And, man, you talk about catastrophic. So thoughts and prayers to the Bahamas as well as they endure Hurricane Dorian. Just really tough stuff. Okay. All right, let's talk some Michigan State football. It's Tuesday, and you guys know each and every Tuesday throughout the Michigan State football season, Mark D'Antonio holds his weekly press conference where he puts a lid on what occurred the game prior to and then begins to preview the week's matchup. This week, Saturday night at Spartan Stadium, as you know by now, Michigan State will be playing host to Western Michigan University, the Broncos. Michigan State got that one over Tulsa, so a win is a win, 1-0 on the year. But as we profiled on the Labor Day edition of Current Sports yesterday, this is a win that kind of leaves a different taste in your mouth. I don't want to say bad, because a win is a win. But it does make you feel a bit uneasy when you look at certain aspects, cough, cough, the offense, that didn't look overly impressive on Friday night. You know, I highlighted how that offensive line still needs a lot of work. That defense and special teams, they played awesome. You know, and Mark D'Antonio noted today that when it comes to the defense, it's you can't point to any player, to any jersey on that defense who didn't have a great game. And that's what D'Antonio said. And yeah, that does include Josh Butler as well. So that defense was unreal. And they are going to continue to be unreal as the season goes along. But we all know the glaring problems on this team right now, it all stems from the offense, in particular the offensive line. So, you know, I addressed D'Antonio's mood to start the hour in preparation for what I'm about to roll in now, which is Mark D'Antonio's press conference. And I addressed the mood that he had on Friday. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jack, because you were there. It seemed like Mark D'Antonio was in a pretty good mood. He was happy. He cracked a few jokes here and there. He was smiling. But today, that was not the case. And am I wrong in saying that on Friday, he seemed like he was in good mood after the game?
He kind of maintained the way he acted throughout the end of last season, talking about the offense, where he kind of just said, look, guys, there's only so many plays we can run. And I thought for a first go around, it was okay, but the execution can get better. He didn't seem overly upset about the offense's output, no.
Right, he didn't. And that is until he went to his office, maybe the next day or 2 days after. I don't know how much time in between, knowing D'Antonio, he's so obsessive, probably that night. He looked at some of that film and said, uh-oh, this is unacceptable. So the mood of Mark D'Antonio this morning was not a cheerful one. He was not smiling. He was not joking. He was not jovial. He was, and again, if I had to describe this press conference in one word, it is irritation, irritable. He was not happy. And I'm just going to let the audio do the talking right now. And when we come back, you'll have my thoughts on what Coach D had to say. But here is Mark D'Antonio starting with a question that was asked to him about his takeaways when it comes to that offensive line.
Yeah, not good enough. We've got to get on the right people. And you know, as I just said, you got to know where to go. You got to play with effort and toughness. And too much of that was lacking. And I'm going to call it as I see it up here right now. So they've got to send a message to our football team. And we've got a long season ahead of us, and we can play much better than that. But I was disappointed in the effort when I see guys running routes that are not at full speed. I see guys blocking at the point of attack, throwing a shoulder in there and not addressing a defender. You know, it can't happen. We predicated ourselves on being tough here. I don't care any way you cut it. And so that message is going to get sent. Whether it's public or not, I'm sure nobody appreciates us running the ball for 67 yards, especially the guy in charge. So we'll fix that.
Mark, yeah. Going back to the offensive line a little bit more, any update on Cole's status or where you feel, I guess?
Cole needs to practice full go before he can play, and he's sort of in and out. So that's, really don't like to talk about injuries, but he's in that situation right now where he's got to practice full go before he can play.
And with AJ not playing?
Not talking about injuries.
Less about that, but more about what that did in terms of shuffling line for a guy who had been there since the spring practice.
We shuffled guys around a little bit, but Matt Carrick got his first start, which talked a lot about the fog of war, and we had Colonel Barris in, so it was, from the Marines, talked to us this spring, and he's exactly right. Plan will not survive contact. So at times, you get out there and you have great intentions. I'm not saying our intentions are bad. We had great intentions, but we didn't get on the right people, or we lacked in terms of physicality. And this game demands that. We had a devotion. We have a devotional every day in our staff meeting. In today's devotional, Chuck Bulla gave and put on a video of Buck Nystrom. This game demands that. It's different than tennis. It's different than basketball. It's different than any other sport, maybe with the exception of rugby. Okay, this game demands that, and we need to get that. Not from one side of the ball, from all sides of the ball, not from one guy, from all 11 guys on the field at every specific time, and that's my message.
Mark, there seems to be a local panic about the offense, but your tone today suggests that that's not an overreaction. You're concerned about it, too.
No, I'm not in a panic situation about our offense. I'm concerned about our defense, too. I'm concerned about every aspect of our football team. And when we see something that's not going correctly, we're going to try and adjust and make corrections. We're not going to come in here and sandbag it or anything like that. I don't think I ever have. So we need to get busy. You guys can all tweet that out. Modern society.
The offensive line, I think it was four different groups that you guys got in there in the game. Was that by design, or was that just in the middle of the game, it's, hey, let's give this a shot, or was that sort of predetermined that we want to get multiple different groupings within
that?
I think
we got eight guys or seven guys that we played in there in different ways, and so we moved people around basically according to what Coach Bowman wanted to do, and we wanted to give everybody opportunities. Whether it be at guard or center or whatever, I think we maintained who our tackles were.
Sorry about that. We saw Ryan Armour get carted off the field. Now we see Jude is listed as the starter and long snapper. Is that the way you plan on rolling with that? And what's it like taking a true freshman walk-on and putting him in that position?
Well, Ryan was a true freshman walk-on at one point, and so was our previous snapper, and that's pretty much the way we've done it. You got to come and prove it. We've lost Ryan Armour for the year, so he is out. And it's a tough injury, but he's recovering mentally from it. He'll have to have surgery. So it's season ending. And Jude is a guy that, he was the heir apparent. He's a good snapper. We recruited him with that idea that he would be the guy, so he's just going to have to pick up the slack a little earlier. But he went in and snapped very well. He's done very well in practice, and I have no regards in terms of how he's going to do. I think he'll be outstanding.
Mark, we're talking about execution and guys playing hard, but there was a lot of talk in the offseason about changes to the offense with Brad coming in to take over. What would you say to people that watched that first game and felt like they saw the same offense that they've seen before?
What I would say is people see the product. They don't understand the process. They see football as a game. Hey, run that play again, which gained 20 yards. Running backs have to break tackles at times. They have to be able to run through the smoke. When there is something, you have to be able to block the point of attack. There are things that have changed. But football is a game of repetition, like I keep saying. You're not going to just say, hey, let's run that play. Nobody else has ever run that before. I don't think that exists in this sport. I think to believe that, or people are a little bit naive. This is, as I said earlier, this is about hard work and execution. You've got to make, I'm holding our coaches accountable as well in this. It's about play selection and play call, play selection. And we need to do a better job in that as well. So I'm not shying away from that responsibility. But at the end of the day, there's only so many wigs to skin a cat. At the end of the day, you better skin the cat. Here's another good quote for you.
I'm going to ask real quick,
Let me write that down.
Okay. Elijah Collins, did you see a little bit more spark from him?
I liked Elijah. I thought he ran well. I thought Elijah ran well.
And
get more touches.
I know you don't talk about injuries, but Anthony Williams, I assume.
Anthony will be able to play for us. But he's, I don't know how the term I use is nicked up. You know, he needs to get himself squared away. He may be available this weekend. He may not be. It just depends on how his week goes.
Mark, we just mentioned Collins, but you also had the rest of Nelson go out there and make a couple plays. Naylor's out there. Do you look to get some of those speedier guys out there, more touches? You mentioned route running. You weren't thrilled with that either, but do you look to mix that up?
We need to play more guys, give everybody opportunities. Guys, good? Enjoyed this one. I'm sure everybody did. Yes, Jim?
Running backs, are they doing a good job running toward the play block? Is that something that's still in progress? They were young ones?
At times, it looks like they're in flow. At other times, they were a cause of the problem as well. So it's all inclusive. No one guy gets it done. No one guy does not get it done. It's all inclusive. You know, the bottom line is that we need to get it done. You know, I was very impressed with our crowd on Saturday night, and also very impressed with the enthusiasm of the crowd. So it should be a great game day atmosphere this next week. Also, think before I walk out of here all irritated. You know, I think our defense played outstanding. A lot of takeaways, very difficult to run the ball on, very difficult to pass the ball on, and really covered all the bases. When you look at it, we had 9 3-and-outs. We had 7 sacks. We took the ball away from them 3 times, blocked another punt, had a safety in addition to that, scored a touchdown. All you could ask. And so they played outstanding. So we got the tails of 2 halves. As I told our football team, you know, yesterday, you got the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the ugly was the penalties. And we talk about penalties over and over and over again. Some of them are forced penalties, a PI or something like that. Sometimes a holding call, and some of them are unforced. We got to limit the unforced penalties, the offsides, jumping offsides, those type of things. We had too many of those and put us immediately in situations. There were some good things on offense. We had an 18-play drive, but we got to finish. We're in the red zone 2 times on 4th-and-1. We got to get the 1 yard, like I said. If you get the 1 yard, you go in and score a touchdown, that game's probably 42-0 or 42-7. Okay, everybody feels a little happier. Okay, but it is what it is. And this is a result-oriented business. I understand that. So we have to make sure that we're pushing forward like in that endeavor. And I got to send a message. Okay? And sometimes I get a little irritable before I walk into these press conferences. So I take it with me. Sometimes I get irritable walking out. Okay? Got to take that with me, too. But we're going to get it right.
Mark, left tackle, obviously Kevin had his first start there. How did you grade out for that? And can you kind of go into the philosophy of maintaining your 2 tackles with him and Jordan versus switching the guys in the interior?
Well, I think Kevin is an extremely strong, physical type of guy. I thought he played okay. I thought he played okay for the first time out there at tackle. He had 2 holding calls, which sort of negates his play. I saw a lot of holding calls, to be quite honest with you, across the nation this past week. And also, I would add that we're 1-0, and there are a lot of people out there that are 0-1. A lot of people wish that they could have played poorly a little bit and still won. So that's the message as well. We won the football game, and we won the football game decidedly, I felt. You're chasing perfection. And you're always trying to get better. So that's what we have to do. But I think that, you know, you got to be solid at the offensive tackle. And, he gave us that opportunity to do that. With A.J. out at the time and Cole out at the time, that was the best case scenario. And he'd been working there for, 10 days or so.
Mark, with a win this weekend, you would tie the school record for victories. I'm wondering if you're able to sort of appreciate the road you've taken to get this point and what that milestone would mean to you.
Oh, yeah, I've taken the road less traveled, huh? Okay. I'm just trying to get better. I've said that. I've talked about that before. I believe that that's a something that a lot of people have worked to do. And, you know, when we get there, we'll get there. As far as Josh Butler, you know, probably the one mistake in the game was the late hit by Kenny, which gave him that opportunity. Otherwise, we'd have been off the field. The ball was up. They stacked the receivers. The ball went up. You know, got a chance to make a play on it, but he's a little out of position on it, so he does interfere. They still make the catch. And then the other one, I think it was a case of, you know, a little pushing both ways, and he went up in a simultaneous catch, and they awarded it to the offense. But they did call him for PI on that one as well. But, you know, those are things that are going to happen. Those are plays in a game that they just happen. You know, you got to take that. But I was impressed that he played it aggressively, and he's got good deep ball judgment, so we just got to continue to play. You know, things like that are going to happen because we're going to play people. You guys all good? Thank you.
All right, so again, head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, holding his weekly press conference, as he is going to do each and every Tuesday morning inside of the Tom and Loopy Izzone Media Center, addressing what occurred on Friday night after he has had some time now to look at the film. And he touched on a few different things there that I just want to comment on. And, you heard that last bit. I guess, Jack, he's not too concerned about, you know, the whole Josh Butler, the two plays that he gave up. You know, he said, hey, that's football. That's going to happen. So we'll come back. We'll hit this first break and then come back, and you'll get our thoughts on what Coach D had to say. Again, and irritated Coach Mark D'Antonio this morning. All right, so we'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We left you heading into that first break with Mark D'Antonio and his press conference held this morning. And, you know, I just want to have some brief dialogue on what Coach D had to say. He touched on a few different things there. He was not happy. He was irritated this morning after what he saw on film of what Michigan State was able to do against Tulsa on Friday night. First thing I'll touch on, you know, he was asked about Cole Chewins, Michigan State offensive lineman, who is out. He is hurt. And if there was any kind of, if there is any kind of timetable when it comes to the return of Chewins, which would help in, I don't know if I can use the word stabilize, but it will help this offensive line. But Mark D'Antonio said that Cole needs to practice first. So if I was a betting man, I would not bet on Cole Chewins being back on that Michigan State offensive line this weekend. Now, A.J. Okuri, as I noted on yesterday's show, he was scheduled to be the replacement for Chewins. But he did not play on Friday night because of an injury. So two injuries right there for that offensive line, which meant that right guard Kevin Jarvis had to move over and play left tackle for the first time, which did not help. So there you have that. Also, Ryan Armour. If you remember Ryan Armour, the senior Michigan State long snapper who went down on Friday night, I had a few of you comment on yesterday's live stream actually asking who was the player that went down and was injured on Friday night, and that was Ryan Armour. Actually, you know, the media is allowed to go on the field with 5 minutes. Those who don't have a field photographer credential. We are allowed to go in the field with 5 minutes left to go in the game. And when I, as soon as I got down there, Ryan Armour, he was being like carted to the locker room with an apparent leg injury. So he is out for the season, unfortunately. So again, senior MSU long snapper Ryan Armour, he is done for the season. When it comes to a few quotes that Mark D'Antonio had, quote, "This game demands physicality," end quote. Mark D'Antonio was not happy with the what he deems to be lack of physicality after watching what he saw on film of Michigan State in Tulsa. He wants his team to be meaner. He wants his team to shove some guys around. He did not see enough of that on Friday night. He also noted that he saw some players who were going half speed, and that's an effort problem, which is going to certainly tick off any coach, let alone Mark D'Antonio. He felt as though some guys were going half speed and walking to certain spots on the field and so on and so forth. He did not like that. And then you heard Fred Heumann from WLNS ask Mark D'Antonio about his irritation level, and Fred even used the word panic. And Mark kind of stopped him there and said, look, I'm not in a panic situation, but I am concerned. Mark D'Antonio is concerned, he says, about every aspect on this team. But again, if you read closely into what he was saying throughout this press conference, he is really displeased when it comes to this offense. All right, I brought up the quote before we even played the presser about how Mark D'Antonio said that it's hard to point at any jersey on the defensive side and say you did not have a good game. He believes everybody had a great game on the defensive side of the football. So it only leaves what the offense and special teams. And special teams, for the most part, played pretty good. So that leaves the offense, in my opinion. He is concerned about the offense. And then, as you heard, Mark D'Antonio is asked about the fans and their displeasure of what you all saw on Friday night. And he says that, quote, "People see the product, they don't see the process." And then he goes on to say that there is not one magical play that you can run that every time will gain 20 yards over and over and over. And Jack chimed in my ear during that part of the presser and said, well, how about the Philly special? So, and there's not. You know, I get where Coach D is coming from. And again, I want to say this too, because it's not like Michigan State is going to show everything against Tulsa. And that's why I said before this season even started, I want to reserve thoughts, overall thoughts on this offense until a couple of weeks in. But what I cannot ignore and what I will not ignore is just how bad that offensive line is. If anything, you can look at the offensive line or the defensive line and say, okay, they look pretty good. They're getting some push here. They look physical. You can look at certain aspects, even though it's against Tulsa. You can look at certain aspects of that game and say, yeah, that's not going to cut it later on down the road. It's just not. And then Coach D goes on to say, bottom line is we need to get it done. And he addresses his irritation by saying, before I walk out of here all irritated. And he tried to, you know, look at some of the positive aspects of his team, notably the defense. But I think, Jack, this is the kind of attitude that you want to see from Mark D'Antonio. You know, if he would have walked into this press conference this morning and said, yeah, I'm fine. You know, a win is a win. You know, we got the win. I know we got some problems. But the fact that he was fiery and irritable and he let it be known, I like this, because now Mark D'Antonio is going to really push these guys in practice. I would not want to be a player donning the green and white in practice this week, but this is good for this team, because at least it's coming off to fans like, all right, Mark saw what we saw. Let's see how he goes about trying to fix this. He addressed the elephant in the room. He did not ignore it. He did not try to put, you know, sprinkles and ice cream on it. It is what it is. And he is going to try and fix this moving forward while also protecting his guys as well. You know, he addressed the fan situation and said, look, man, you guys don't see the process. All right. So my guys are putting in work, but the job isn't getting done. So we got to bring this thing up to another level now. So he addressed it. I just when you look at this offensive line right now, I don't know how you go about fixing it. If I did, I guess I would be on somebody's coaching staff somewhere. So we'll see what happens this weekend. But your takeaways from what Coach D had to say.
Let's see how they look against Western Michigan University, because I agree with you. It's good to see D'Antonio fired up about this, because, I mean, the offensive output against Tulsa was unacceptable. One offensive touchdown against Tulsa, and that's the weakest opponent you're going to face all year, if we're being honest. So, I mean, from that standpoint, it wasn't good enough, and it's good that D'Antonio recognized it. But, you know, we need to see the offense take strides before I give Mark D'Antonio a lot of credit for just calling out the problems he sees.
Definitely. And, you know, I had this conversation with our very own Brad Walker before we started the show, and we were just kind of kicking around thoughts as to how you go about solving the problem with the offensive line. And it truly is a domino effect, Jack, because, you know, if you have a game like that, and, you know, I mentioned the whole Sparty Digital thread at Sparty Digital on Twitter that showed like 8 straight plays of Brian Lewerke and, you know, other members of that backfield, you know, with the running backs just running around with their heads cut off because they had absolutely no time to make any kind of magic work with that offense. You know, subconsciously, I mean, how can you, as Brian Lewerke, as the starting quarterback of this team, after a performance like that against Tulsa, how can you trust your guys up front against better competition? Because, you know, I can just imagine being the starting quarterback, it's always going to be in the back of your mind now that when that ball is hiked, I am on a very short clock to do something. Subconsciously, that's got to bother you, because you know, as a quarterback, you just want to, you know, you want to go through your progressions and look down the field and see who's open. But knowing that your offensive line may break down in like 2 seconds, that's got to mess with your game a bit. And also, as a running back, when you get that handoff from Lewerke, you know, trying to trust that line that you're going to find some kind of lane and some kind of hole to run through, I just think subconsciously it just adds more stress to the already stressful job of Brian Lewerke. So, I don't know, man. Again, I'm not hitting the panic meter right now, but I'm just letting it be known I did not like what I saw, just like many of you didn't. Many of you didn't like what you saw on Friday night. So we'll see how they go about rectifying that. I'll get to a few of your comments in just a moment here, but I do want to address this before we hit our final break. Nick Ward, who left Michigan State during his, well, I should say after his junior season playing under head coach Tom Izzo, he will be playing overseas in Israel. How about that? He signed a contract. I will not butcher the club's name again, but it's a club that is a part of the Israeli Premier League. And, you know, looking at Ward and his junior campaign, he averaged 12.9 points and 6.1 rebounds per game. Again, he went unpicked in the NBA draft. He spent the summer league with the Atlanta Hawks, capped off his time with a 16.13 rebound performance. And then he then went on to tell the Columbus Dispatch, he is from that area, he's from Ohio. He told the Columbus Dispatch in late July that he planned to attend an NBA training camp in the fall as his next step, but instead will now head overseas to the Israeli Premier League. And this was kind of expected, right? You know, Nick Ward, what really set Nick Ward back, because I really believe that if he did not break his hand, and I believe that was right either during or prior to the Ohio State game, if my memory serves me correctly. Looking at the numbers and Nick Ward's overall production, I really believe that if he continued to have that consistent production and did not have that injury, I think Nick Ward would have been chosen. Now, it would have been a second-round pick, but I think his numbers would have been consistent enough and he would have put enough on film that I think some NBA GMs out there would have said, all right, let's pull the trigger on Nick Ward. You know, summer league, it's kind of tough because everybody's fighting for their life and trying to get theirs to try and make an NBA roster, so your numbers can be a bit skewed there. And at the end of the day, you know, Nick Ward, his numbers weren't eye-popping because of that, I believe. And if you do make a G League roster, yeah, you're still in the NBA hub, but again, a lot of those NBA G League guys still don't get the opportunity to play in the pros. This is a great move for Nick Ward. I think this is a great move because if he goes over there and puts up big numbers, I think he will turn some heads, and there will be some NBA guys out there, and it helps when, you know, Tom Izzo is your former coach in college. Tom Izzo has so much pull and so many connections in the association. If Nick Ward goes overseas and handles business, I do believe that Nick Ward will have a shot at making an NBA roster come next season, come next summer. I'll say that. I don't think we've heard the last of Nick Ward when it comes to professional basketball here in America. Want to note this, all three members of Michigan State's 2018-19 team who turned pro have now signed overseas for the 2019-2020 season. As Matt McQuaid, he is set to play in Germany, and you have Kenny Goins scheduled to play in Italy. Now, if I ask the question, out of those three players, who has the best shot at possibly making an NBA roster, I am always going to lean towards Matt McQuaid because he is a shooter. And the NBA will always, always find a roster spot for a young man if he can shoot the rock. So we'll see what happens, though. Nick Ward, again, Nick Ward to play overseas in the Israeli Premier League. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll give you my overall thoughts when it comes to week one of the Big Ten college football year. We'll be right back.
Rafa, you're used to playing before on the brightest stages, before packed crowds with celebrities, but you had a friend come and see you play today, and that's Tiger Woods. Even he got up out of his seat when he saw that point. What advice have you guys given one another about the nature of winning and staying competitive as you've each aged in your careers?
Well, I think Tiger don't need any advice from from me especially, no. But honestly, well, for me it's a huge honor play in front of all of you, of course, but play in front of... play in front of Tiger for me is a very special thing. No, I always say that I never had big idols, but if I have to say one idol is him. You know, I always try to follow him every single shot that he hit during the whole year, and for me it's a big pleasure to have him here supporting. Means a lot. He's a big legend of the sport, one of the greatest sportsmen of all time, and I just want to congratulate him for one of the amazing, more amazing comebacks ever on the sport, winning the Masters this year.
And people who know that you have a few hobbies you love. One of them is fishing, and another is golf. What advice has he given you? You can talk a little bit about your golf game at times. Not sure how well you actually back it up. Have you guys ever gotten out and played together?
Well, honestly, it's much better if Tiger don't see my swing. Maybe he can lose a little bit the rhythm after that.
Oh, gotta love that moment, right? Rafael Nadal beating Marin Cilic. And after that match, he acknowledged the GOAT being in the room. Tiger Woods, he took some time out of his, well, not so busy schedule now, to check out Nadal at the U.S. Open. That was a really cool moment. Just wanted to play that for you. That was my favorite sound bite from yesterday's list of sports. And also, thanks to our viewers out there on Facebook.com/WKAR News. Some great questions and comments coming in. Our former engineer, Ian Hawley's got a great question. I'm going to address that tomorrow as he's got a question about Michigan State football's coaching staff. Ben, thank you for chiming in. Alex, our good friend, Anthony Iani, also watching. I'm going to get to a few of your comments on tomorrow's show because of time. But to close this out here with less than 2 minutes left, we do have Ray from Indiana on line one. Ray, what's up, man?
Hey, bear with me, Al. I got a statement to make. College football is at its best. Go, Army! Beat bullies! Go, Army! Beat bullies! Go, Army! Beat bullies! Go, Army! Beat bullies!
That is Ray's weekly chant for whatever opposition the Michigan Wolverines are playing on the gridiron. So, yes, Michigan does play Army this Saturday at noon. That was an interesting game against Middle Tennessee State. Wasn't it on Saturday night, Ray?
Yeah, they didn't look all that good. They didn't impress me. I'll tell you, you better worry about Wisconsin and Penn State. I know they didn't play anybody. Mm-hmm. They won by 70. Let's see when the Bullies have to go to Wisconsin after this Army game, see how they play.
Yeah, that is how Michigan will start the Big Ten year. Thank you so much, Ray. Appreciate the call, brother.
Go Army!
All right, and also due to time, you're going to get my week one thoughts on the Big Ten Conference in college football tomorrow as well. So tomorrow will be a very, very, very busy show. But with just 30 seconds left, we have to bid you all adieu. We'll be back at it, same time, same place, on the hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.